And welcome to another broadcast of Sunshine USA. And I tell you, this is the highlight of my day. I'm Warren Landis. I'm your host and Bible teacher here on Sunshine USA. And a lot of times I'll say good morning, welcome to another broadcast. And that's because of the fact that I record these broadcasts in the morning hours. That's usually when I'm feeling the best. It's also when my voice and my throat is the strongest. And, you know, I've just gotten up in many cases, and I'm probably stronger and healthier now than I am the rest of the day. So that's why I do this. And, of course, that's good advice for you, too. I mean, not only is it important for you to study the Word of God every day, but to study the Word of God at a time when you're most alert and when you can pay attention. And when you're studying the Word of God on your own, I would suggest that you either turn your cell phone off, or you put it on silent, or you don't even keep your cell phone in the room, so that you're not going to be disturbed by calls or texts or emails that, you know, can wait till later. Amen. Now, of course, when I do these broadcasts, I can't really put my phone away and I can't turn it off because I use my cell phone to transmit these programs over to the internet. So, but I simply ignore whatever calls come in during the time that I do these broadcasts. Now, today we're going to be continuing our study of the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians, we're going to be taking a look in particular at chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I think you're going to find that Paul has a lot of valuable stuff to say here in Ephesians chapter 3. And so without any further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into the broadcast. Now, just a while ago, the phone was ringing. My phone was ringing, but I simply ignored it. Some of you might have heard it, maybe you didn't. But when I'm doing these broadcasts, are my priority until the broadcast is finished. Okay, here we go. Ephesians chapter 3. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the benefit of you Gentiles. Now notice here that Paul refers to himself as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you this question. If I were teaching this, for example, as a Sunday school lesson, one of the questions I would be asking you at this point is this. What does it mean to be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we normally feel that a prisoner is one who basically has few, if any, rights. In other words, as a Christian, I give up any rights that I have to control my own life. And I yield all that over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he makes those decisions for me. And ideally, any decision I make personally should be based on what I feel like the Word of God says. Now, it doesn't mean that I've always perfectly done that, but that's the way it should be done. Amen? I mean, we're all sinners. As I've indicated on this program many times, when God saved us, he did not eradicate our old sin nature. So you and I, we have to do battle every day of our lives with our old sin nature. Now, one day that won't be true anymore. Because one day we'll be in our new glorified bodies, we'll be in heaven. And when that grand and glorious day comes, guess what? You and I will no longer have to battle our old sinful nature. Because at that point, once and for all, our old sin nature will be eradicated will be saved not only from the penalty of sin, but the very presence of sin. We won't have to fight Satan any longer. Amen? Amen. We live a life that's just totally yielded over to the control of Jesus Christ. Now, another thing about being a prisoner is you don't live by your own rules. You live by the rules of the jail or prison where you are. They determine what you can do and what you cannot do. And basically, that's the way it is with us and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has to say so over our lives. He calls the shots. He makes the decisions. That's what it means to make Jesus, by the way, the Lord of your life. You're asking the Lord to come in and take complete control, complete charge over your life. Now, in this chapter 3, Paul also talks about what is sometimes referred to among theologians as the mystery. The mystery. Now, who doesn't love a good mystery? I think we all love a good mystery to some degree. So, let's see what else Paul has to say here in chapter 3. He says, God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. So the mystery is the fact that God has made known to Paul the fact that it's his ministry, his mission, to be a witness to the Gentiles and to minister to the Gentiles. Now, you know, God is such a practical God. This was actually a practical decision for God to make on Paul's behalf. God knew that the Jewish people, by and large, would not listen to Paul. Now, why was this? This was because Paul spent many years, probably many decades of his life, persecuting Christians. He had them put into jail. He had them thrown into prison. He had them beaten. And so the Jews, by and large, did not accept or gladly receive the ministry of Paul. In fact, when Paul started ministering to the Jews, I mean to the Gentiles, rather, when he started ministering to the church outside the Jewish community, many Jews felt like this was a ploy that Paul was using in order to infiltrate the church, find out where more and more Christians were, and then persecute them. And so Paul really never lived to see the day when Jews had a lack of trust in anything he had to say. And so God decides to use Paul in a very special way by using him to express the gospel to Gentiles. Now, you'll recall during Jesus' earthly ministry, most of the message went out to those that were Jews, not Gentiles. For example, most of the miracles Jesus performed in his earthly ministry, these miracles were directed at Jews, not Gentiles. Because during Jesus' earthly ministry, for the most part, by and large, Gentiles were not privileged to hear the good news of Jesus. But later, God would raise up Paul, and Paul would become a minister who specializes in reaching the Gentile for Jesus Christ. And frankly, Paul became very successful at this. And this actually made Paul different from the other apostles. all the other apostles, including Peter, who seems to be the leader among the apostles, all the apostles, including Peter, were primarily directing their ministry, their message to other Jews. But Paul, on the other hand, is being used of God to primarily direct his message to the Gentiles. And so that had a tendency to make Paul a little bit different than all the other apostles. And that's one of the reasons why Paul went to Arabia for 3 years. It would have made sense for Paul to go to the other apostles if Paul's mission was the same as theirs. But Paul had a different mission in mind. More specifically, God had a different mission in mind for Paul. God was going to use Paul to carry the good news of the gospel to the Gentile world. And so Christ spent 3 years alone with Paul to teach him the message of God as it pertained to Gentiles. Now, you know, it's interesting. The 3 years that Paul spent in Arabia is roughly equal to the 3 years that young ministers today spend in the seminary. Now, it's important to note that after the 3 years that Paul spent in Arabia, he does spend some time with a couple of the disciples. So he's not totally disassociating himself with the other disciples or apostles. But he also makes it clear to him, to them, that his ministry is a little bit different than theirs. And I think even Peter understood that. Now, Peter was probably one of the first people to learn that God was no longer interested in limiting the good news of the gospel to the Jews. But Peter, on the other hand, was not comfortable carrying the good news of the gospel to the Jews. And so Paul was raised up after he was saved on the road to Damascus. Paul was raised up for the specific purpose of carrying the good news of the gospel to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. Now, I will point out, Paul did preach to the Jews, and he tried to teach the Jews what he could. He was not totally ignoring the Jews. It's just that his message and his ministry was primarily directed to the Gentiles. Well, let's read on. As you read what I've written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now, by His Spirit, He has revealed it to His holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe in the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and enjoy the same promise of blessings because they belong to Jesus Christ. That's why Paul was able to say there is no longer any difference between Jew and Gentile. Amen. By God's grace, and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading this good news. Now, I want you to know here that God has a plan for each and every one of us. Just as God had a plan for Paul, who at first was known as Saul, just as God had a plan for Paul and his life, God has a plan for your life. Now, you need to understand that God's plan for your life is not necessarily God's plan for my life. God has a different purpose in mind when He saved each and every one of us. There's a lot of preachers that I down through the years have enjoyed. And each of these preachers have taught me something in the ministry. People like Billy Graham, Vance Havner, J. Harold Smith, Eddie Martin, W.A. Criswell, my own home church pastor, Dan Greer, who for a long time was pastor of the Washington Avenue Baptist Church here in Greenville, South Carolina, and it was under his ministry that I was both licensed to preach and later ordained to preach. But yet the ministry that God has given me is not the same ministry that he gave those gentlemen. I, for example, for the most part, have never pastored a church. Except for 5 months back in 1985, when I was pastor of a small Baptist mission over in Franklin, Louisiana. But except for that 1 5-month interim pastorate, I have never served any church as pastor. Most of my preaching ministry has been largely to those outside of the church. Now, by the same token, the church pastor under whom I got saved and later licensed and ordained into the ministry, my home church pastor never preached on the internet. Because during the earthly ministry, during his earthly ministry, the internet was not a reality. It was not a reality. It was not available. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have the social media. And so my home church pastor never had the internet ministry that I have today. And many of these other preachers that I've mentioned, most of them in their earthly time, they never preached on the internet. Why? Because it wasn't available. But it is now. Somebody the other day told their friends that she considered me to be a media pastor. And I was humbled by what she said, and yet it's probably true. My congregation is on the internet. The people I preach to and minister to, they're on the internet. They're online. Amen. Now, as we go on here in Ephesians, we read in verse 12, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now boldly and confidently come into God's presence. And by the way, that's a privilege that the Old Testament saints didn't have. They couldn't go directly into the presence of God. They had to go into the presence of a priest, and the priest went to God on behalf of that person. But that is not the way things are done today. You and I as Christians, we have direct access to God. We have direct access to God. We can come to God and talk to him directly. We don't have to go through some secretary. We don't have to go through a heavenly answering service. We don't have to go to a heavenly voicemail. We can go directly into the presence of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, as we take a look at verses 14 through verse 21, we find that Paul talks about his prayer for the people that he's ministering to come into spiritual growth and maturity. You know, when you first get saved, the Bible refers to you as a babe in Christ. Now, many of you know what it is. Many of you know what it is. to father children or to be parents of children. And you know, when a child is born, that child is 100% dependent on the parents to supply them with everything they need. But it's not God's will for any human being to remain a child forever. We have to grow and mature. I can remember the first time when my mom and dad put me and my siblings on a bus, and we took the bus to school. This was especially true with me and my brother. Now, later on, my mother became a stay-at-home mom, and she took us to work every day, I mean, to school every day. But in those early years, me and my brother, we got on the school bus, and we rode to school. And my parents trusted us to get on the bus, to go to school, to go to all of our classes, and then come home. I can remember one Saturday, back when me and my brother were still young, my parents allowed us to go downtown and do some shopping on our own. They trusted us. They also allowed us to mature. And even though my parents were poor, they took us out to eat at least once a week. Now, there was a reason for that. We ate at a particular restaurant that I don't think is even in business anymore. But they took us out to eat. This was a restaurant where kids 12 and under ate for free. But this was only on Thursday night. So for a long time, my parents would take me and my siblings out to eat on Thursday night, knowing that we ate free, and all they had to do was pay for their own meal. But my dad had a purpose in all this as well. The purpose was to teach us as kids how to behave in a public setting and how to order food on the menu. And also it taught us the value of properly tipping, the person that was waiting on us. So we learned a lot of social skills by eating out once a week. Now, in the same way, it is God's desire for you and I as Christians to grow spiritually, to mature spiritually. Now, how do you do this? You do this by making it a daily habit to read and study the Word of God. You learn to spend more and more time in prayer. And also, you get involved in a local church, a church where the gospel is preached, the Bible is taught, and you know, the purpose of the pastor, contrary to maybe popular opinion, the purpose of the pastor is not to do everything. I know some pastors that would do everything if the church would let them. I think about the guy that's pastor of the church I'm a member of now. His name is Lenny Miller. Great man of God, great pastor. And Lenny would probably be very content doing everything himself if we would let him. But you see, Lenny knows that the job of the pastor is to equip the members of the church to do the work and will of God so that the people can serve along with the pastor. Because you see, any pastor who knows anything at all about pastoring a church, he understands that he cannot do everything. And furthermore, he's not doing his congregation a favor by doing everything. His job is to equip the saints so that the saints in turn can go out and work with the pastor to get the job of the church done. The church is not a solo performance on the part of the pastor. What the church does is the result of teamwork. Everybody in the church working together to get the work of the church done. Ask yourself this question, and this is a very good question, by the way, for you to ask yourself. And that question would be this: what if every member of the church was just like me? Think about that. What if every member of the church was just like me? Would the church have enough money to do what it needs to do? Would things get done in the church that need to get done in the church? I'm thinking right now about one guy who was a member of the church I grew up in. And he and his wife were actually very poor. They didn't have a lot of money. Most members of the church gave more money to the church than they did. They didn't have a lot to give. But you know what? They did a lot of volunteering of their time. For example, this man served as a bus captain. He had a bus route. He would go in neighborhoods all over Greenville, pick up the kids and bring them to church. By trade, he was an auto mechanic. But he didn't make a lot of money. Now, I'm convinced one of the reasons he didn't make a lot of money as an auto mechanic is because he had such a generous heart. If somebody in the church needed their car worked on and they couldn't afford it, he at least donated his time and his skill to work on the car. The only thing they had to pay for was the part. And in some cases, he even paid for the part. So no, he didn't give a lot of money to the church. But what he did was so valuable. He also served as the chief mechanic for the church. At that time, we had 3 buses and 3 vans. And he told the church, "I will take care of the repair needs of all 3 buses and all 3 vans." By doing that, he literally saved the church thousands and thousands of dollars every year. Great man of God. Now, I've lost touch with him over the years. I don't know if he's still alive or not. Now, based on his age at the time that I knew him and based on how old I'm now, I tend to believe that he's probably in heaven now. But when I think of him, I think about the generous spirit that he had, even to a fault, because he could have made a lot more money as a mechanic if he charged people for the work that he did, or if he charged the people what most mechanics would have charged them. But he was a very generous man with a compassionate heart. And most of all, he loved the Lord. I remember him telling about one occasion where his wife wrote out a check that represented a tithe of that couple's income. But she did this without telling her husband. But now the husband wanted to make sure that they tithed as well. And because the wife didn't tell him that she'd already done that, he said, "Well, I'm going to write out a check for a tithe of our income to the church." So that week, they gave a double tithe to the church. Now, like I say, it's important to point out, even though they didn't give as much money to the church as other people did, they still supported the church financially to the best of their ability, and it was still a tithe. It's just that for most people, their tithe was bigger than their tithe because most people in the church made more money than they did. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the important thing here is that Paul talks about the absolute necessity of us growing and maturing in Christ. Back in 2012, when the Lord led me to establish this ministry called Sunshine USA, I was appalled at how little the average Christian knew about the Word of God. I actually met Christians who thought that the epistles were the wives of the apostles. And when I realized that, I said, boy, we are in trouble. People have so little knowledge of the Word of God. There's a lot about the Word of God they just don't know. And so the Lord laid it on my heart to start this ministry called Sunshine USA. And today, this is a ministry that literally goes to all the world. You know, it's kind of funny. Back when I got saved, I wanted to be a missionary. In particular, I wanted to be a missionary to the continent of Africa. And so I wrote a letter as a Southern Baptist to what was then known as the Southern Baptist Foreign Mission Board. And I told them I felt led of the Lord to be a foreign missionary to Africa. Now, of course, on this form they send you, they wanted you to talk about your health history and your current health problems and any handicaps that you might have. And when they looked at all that information, they wrote me back and said, I'm sorry, we can't use you as a foreign missionary because of your health. We think that you would not be a good candidate for work overseas. I was crushed. I was so disappointed. And in some ways, even mad at the Foreign Mission Board. But what I didn't see at the time was that God had a far bigger mission for me. God knew that at some point in my future, the internet would be invented, the social media would be created, and God would allow me to use the internet and social ministry, not just to reach Africa. Back a few weeks ago, I actually got an email from a listener in Congo of the Republic, or the Republic of Congo in Africa. But I'm not just a missionary by way of the internet to Africa. By way of the internet, I reach people for Christ in Europe and in Asia, Central America, South America, the islands of the sea. So God had a far bigger plan in mind for me than what I had for myself. If I had actually been accepted by the Foreign Missionary Board and I went to some remote jungle in Africa, that would have been the limit of my ministry. But God decided, I'm not going to do that to Warren. I'm going to call him into internet ministry. And by way of the internet, he's going to reach his world for Christ. Or at least a good chunk of it. I mean, I would not be so naive to believe that everybody who listens to my broadcast gets saved. But a lot of people do get saved as a result of this ministry. And not just people here in the United States, but people all over planet Earth. Amen. And my, how I thank God for that. The ministry that God's given me. Now, I'll be honest with you, I have plans beyond what we're doing now. And that's one of the reasons I'm interested in forming a board of directors. Right now, we're not legally incorporated as a ministry. But if we had a board of directors, we would have the framework through which this ministry can continue even after the time that God calls me home. Some of the things I would love for this ministry to do out yonder in the future, I would love for this ministry to maybe have more of a television ministry. I would love for us to preach on over-the-air radio and TV stations all across America. This would actually allow us to reach a lot of people that we don't reach now. For example, I've always had a love in my heart for prisoners. people who were inmates in jails and prisons across the country and throughout the world. But as you know, most inmates do not have access to the internet. Or if they do, it's a very limited, controlled access. So consequently, most inmates in jails and prisons across America, they have no access to this broadcast. But they would have access to this broadcast if we were broadcasting on over-the-air radio and TV stations across America. I would love for that to happen one of these days. I would love for us to establish a Bible college, both online as well as a brick-and-mortar campus. There's a lot of people who feel called of God to go into the ministry, and they can't really prepare for the ministry because it costs too much money nowadays to go to college. Someone said the other day on the news that slowly but surely, today the college campus is becoming inaccessible except to those who have a lot of money. Sad but true. And so I would like to establish a Bible college that would be available to anybody who feels called of God to go into the ministry, regardless of how little money they have. I would love to have a network of homeless shelters across America to minister to the needs of homeless people. I would love to have a drama and motion picture ministry so that we can use drama and movies as a way of reaching a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not so old that I don't still have dreams and visions for this ministry going out yonder into the future. And I know that some of these things that I would like to see Sunshine USA to do, I may not live to see some of these things happen. But I would at least like to live long enough to see us form a board of directors who would be in charge of leading this ministry after I'm no longer on this earth. And they would keep doing this until the day Jesus Christ comes back to this earth in the rapture. Amen. And I would love to see this be a ministry where many Christians around the world would find a place of service, an opportunity to use the gifts that God has given them for the glory of God. Now, in the next broadcast, when we get into Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is going to talk a little bit more about the spiritual gifts. Now, on this broadcast, we've already talked about the spiritual gifts already to some degree. But we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts in a further way in the next broadcast. I believe, for example, that every single Christian has been given at least one spiritual gift. Many Christians that I know have two or more spiritual gifts, and that's altogether possible. I personally don't believe that every Christian has every gift. In fact, I would say very few, if any, Christians have all the gifts. I mean, you would have more work to do than you could ever do if you had all the gifts of the Spirit. But I think God gives at least one or two gifts to every believer, especially equipping them to do the work that God has put them on this earth to do. And we'll be talking about that a lot more in our next broadcast when we go into Ephesians chapter 4. So if you haven't read Ephesians chapter 4 yet, I strongly recommend that you go ahead and do so. Now, by the way, if you have a prayer request or a comment you want to make, if you have a testimony you want to share, I invite you to contact me directly. The best way to do that is by email. I have two email addresses. One is warrenlandis@yahoo.com. And the other one is warrenlandis@gmail.com. Now, if you want to, you can contact me by snail mail. My snail mail address is Warren Landis, 80 Thruston Street. That's T-H-R-U-S-T-O-N, 80 Thruston Street, apartment 8510, Greenville, South Carolina, 29605. And I would love to hear from you. Your emails and your letters mean more to me than you'll ever know. I mean, seriously, they mean more to me than you'll ever know. And I hope that you won't hesitate to contact me today. It might be you have a very interesting testimony that you would love to share with our radio audience. If so, give me your contact information and I'll contact you and set you up for a time to be on the radio program so that you can share your testimony with other people. And that would probably be especially true if you've been saved or have grown as a Christian as a result of this radio ministry. Amen? Amen. Well, that, believe it or not, is going to bring us to the end of another broadcast. I guess this is probably the saddest part of every broadcast when I have to sign off and say goodbye, but don't fret none, because you see, I'm going to be back again next time here on Sunshine USA.